Reactive power is the nature of the Big Bang. When physicists talk about the Big Bang, all it is reactive power. First, foremost, beginning and end, that's all reactive power amounts to, is an explosion of force. It's always that way. And that is what the Big Bang refers to. The only reason why we think of it as being conserved is because it's suppressed. That the bang aspect is suppressed because it is yoked to the limitations of real power. The application of real power in sufficient quantity strangles the Big Bang of reactive power to toe the line, so to speak, and stay in step with real power, creating what's called balancing the load on the electric utility grid, maintaining an equivalence between the generation of power and the expenditure of power. But when the generation of power should drop significantly, in other words, the application of real power, then we get a phenomenon that happens in the northern section of India, the power grid. Literally, power springs up from seemingly nowhere. The amplitude just grows, even though the generators are offline. Well, this is the intrinsic nature of the network. It's so large, its inductances, capacitances are so vast, that it starts to generate power on its own just from environmental input, just from the input from trees and plants and you and me and the earth, as scanty as that may be, a millionth part of a volt, it's sufficient to stimulate it and not too much to suppress its overreactance, its explosive Big Bang nature. That's the nature of electricity. Is not the way we've come to know it, because the dominant force of electricity is not real power, it's reactive power. That explosive nature, that Big Bang nature of reactive power is the dominant force of electricity. And we just assume that we have to account for everything and be forced to pay for everything. So we apply real power equivalent to the expenditure at the load plus extra to cover losses, and that's enough also to suppress the Big Bang of reactive power and prevent us from investigating free energy. So Foster's reactance theorem talks about negative impedance, the generation of power, but it never says how to do it. And how to do it is don't go ease up on the amount of power you give the circuit and then arrange it in such a way to take advantage of that scanty input so that the prime mover is no longer of prime importance. It's except as a stimulant, a catalyst to get overreactance to occur. So this is really the way to look at reactive power. It is what the physicists call the Big Bang. I think they talk in coded language, just like Stanley Meyer ended up talking in coded language to hide the secrets of his invention. I think physicists are doing the same thing. They've abrogated various portions of electrical engineering unto themselves, calling it quantum mysticism, and giving it coded language that only they understand or a few people in society understand, and the rest are kept ignorant by being told lies or half-truths. And this is one of them. I keep coming up with this over and over again, and I knew of this a long time ago, but I never thought it would be associated with the phrase Big Bang, but that really is what it is, because I've always said that the intrinsic nature of electricity is a wild stallion. It wants to behave like a forestry wildfire in which it's always out of control, it's always out of hand, it's always getting bigger than it was before and taking over and incinerating the whole forest. Well, isn't that what the Big Bang is? It's a big bang. And that's what a wild stallion represents. much better than a wild stallion does, because a wild stallion doesn't blow up. but electricity does. When it overreacts, when Foster's reactance theorem is allowed to execute, it's really a question of allowance. It wants to do it, because that's the essential nature of energy. It wants to explode, but we don't let it most of the time, so we have a nicely ordered society. But that's not the intrinsic nature of energy. So as I've said many times, the only way to understand free energy is to understand energy, and most of the time we don't understand either one or both, because we don't go back to fundamentals. So another coded language, photons are massless. Well, yeah, intelligence, knowledge, has no mass because it has no material existence. It's an abstraction. It's like a virus that does not have full existence. It has virtual existence unless given embodiment in some material form, and then we see the intelligence there. That's what the movement of current, so-called current, down a wire amounts to. It's no different than the movement of dominoes when you set up dominoes. It's a mirage to call it a material movement of among the dominoes, that something's being passed from one to one, but we fool ourselves into thinking that. It's not energy. It's intelligence. It's knowledge of changing energy states. And the sequence of events of those changes creates a pattern that our brain recognizes, but our brain only recognizes knowledge. A pattern is a piece of knowledge. It's not a material fact. When we see ripples moving across the surface of a pond, that's not material movement going across the pond. That's material movement going up and down. The ripple, the pattern, goes across the pond. And if you can convince a ball bearing sitting on a lake of, let's say, mercury, to move across that lake only because the ripples are moving, you have now created a cam drive. The mechanism inside our automobiles and inside of locomotives to convert reciprocating movement into rotary movement. And yet that convincing translation of movement is simply done through knowledge and intelligence and information. It has nothing to do with materialistic energy, because energy is the dynamic states of matter. It does not exist apart from matter, except as a potential, a voltage potential, ensconced within empty space, so-called empty space. And it can take on two characteristics. It can take on the characteristic of real power in physical space, or it can take on the characteristic of imaginary power in the realm of counter space, the realm of imaginary numbers. What I loosely misinterpret as calling reactive power because of its reactive nature. But electrical engineers don't call imaginary power reactive power. Yet I do. I mix up the terms, because that's really where reactance comes from, is from the imaginary field. It doesn't come from the application of real power. It comes from the response the coil and the capacitor has to the application of real power. But real power is just a hand reaching for a doorknob and turning it to open a door. What comes through that door has nothing to do with real power. It's totally coming from the counter space field of the ether, which we enumerate with imaginary numbers. But it does take energy, real power, to twist the knob on that door and give it a push or a pull to open the door. That is true. But it takes so little to open the door. It's really the principle of leverage, Archimedes and the lever, because what you get coming through that door can be tremendous if you set up your circuit just right to receive it, to translate it from the ether into the real world and manifest it as something that we can appreciate. Namely, an explosion at the shipyard, as Eric Dollard would call it, an explosion at the transformer at the substation or whatever. That Big Bang has nothing to do with the real power that opened the doorway for it to come through into our physical space, except as an action of leverage. Very little was necessary to bring it in from the other realm of the imaginary realm into our real physical realm, out of the ether and into the physical space. This is the way to look at the full scope of energy, is that we cannot account for the ether. We don't know how much is there. We'll never know. It's impossible. We can only account for what's here in the physical realm. And because we insist on believing that the physical realm is all there is, we are literally turning a blind eye to the source of the cosmos, is the ether. And we are literally spitting in God's face. We're not denying God, because we know exactly where to spit, because we know exactly what to deny. It's no different than mathematicians denying the first prime number is the number one, or that the first golden ratio is the number one. It's the same principle of the child denying the parent, even though they know the parent is there. Not by ignoring the parent, but by spitting in the parent's face. They know exactly where to spit. Or else a rebel, an adolescent rebel, wouldn't know who to rebel against if they totally ignored the parent and left home. But if they stay home and rebel, they know exactly who they're spitting in whose face. They're not ignorant of the existence of their parent whom they hate, if they are so inclined to do so. As an analogy, it works. I should know. I was one of those rebels. But this is the way to look at energy, and to look at free energy, and to look at real power and reactive power. And the only way to iconify it is to rewrite Ohm's law, because Ohm's law is a lie. Because it doesn't take time into consideration, which is one of the factors of electrical reactance. There's no such thing as power. Power doesn't exist. Energy exists. Power is a fiction in which we've analyzed the situation to the point of ridiculous foolishness, of oversimplification, for the benefit of the beginning students of electrical engineering, yet we never teach the more advanced version of Ohm's law to the advanced students of electrical engineering. It doesn't happen. It'll never happen under the auspices of today's society. God forbid. We should give freedom of knowledge to electrical engineering students so that they can become the masters of our human universe instead of mere pawns being manipulated by their supervisors who don't know any better than they do. Ohm's law has to include time, because that will regulate the rate of reactance. And when you speed up the rate of reactance by increasing the frequency of oscillations of a parasitic frequency that is the reactance to the application of real power, you increase the rate at which imaginary power enters into the physical space of the circuit and gives you far more energy than you had before. But there are two other factors missing, capacitance and inductance. And all three have to be somehow put into Ohm's law to make it a true assessment of the situation. I only know the easy way is to put in time, because we already have it. It's called joules. But I don't know how to say the rest. All I know is to say that the application of real voltage times its reactionary voltage coming from the imaginary plane of the ether, divided by simple resistance along with various there, that's how to integrate it, along with division by the various impedances of capacitive impedance and inductive impedance. So that's how you work in the two other electrical reactants, all within a framework of per time unit. That's how you work in time. So now you've worked in all three factors of electrical reactance, turning Ohm's law into the true embodiment of Joule's law of energy. because you have all the components there, and current isn't anywhere in sight. It does not exist because you've brought in reactants that previously had been left out of the situation. Strictly, it was power, all about power. It's about reactants providing us energy, because that's the only place we get energy from. Power dissipates so quickly due to entropy, it's useless. We know that. And yet we're paying through the nose for something that is useless because it dissipates so quickly, like the battery in a flashlight. Now we have to go buy a new battery because it's useless. Entropy is a humongous waste of intelligence on the part of the human, thinking that that's all there is entropy. What a life. What a wasted life we've been living for the past 1.5 centuries at least, since the days of us ignoring Oliver Heaviside's contribution. Because we could have had free energy the minute Oliver Heaviside solved the transatlantic telegraph cable problem of the 1880s. We could have had free energy all along since him. Not Tesla, even before Tesla, even before Nathan Stubblefield. If you want to go back to anybody, it's Oliver Heaviside. He's the one who started the ball rolling on free energy. But everybody has been blind and clueless to what he has contributed to the field of free energy. It's unbelievable. It's just... Anyway, I better stop kvetching. I think I've said enough. To those of you who want to ignore me and keep ignoring me, fine. You'll be much better off, because God forbid you should be disturbed and become disturbed. You have to have a certain development of character to be able to handle the development of knowledge, because knowledge is power through leverage. It's not raw power. It's power through leverage. But you, without character development, you'll go insane. You'll go nuts because you can't handle it. And so, as Charlie Lutz always told us, never pray for power. Pray for divine guidance. Pray for knowledge, intelligence of how to use power. Pray for spirituality, in other words, is what he said. Pray for character development. Pray for maturation of character development, because we're only semi-civilized. We're not civilized. We still act like animals, or else we wouldn't have football games being all the rage. Oh, it's great. We pay homage to the passions of our body. That seems to be all we do. Just look at the commercials on TV. That's all they do, is they cater to our passions. They don't cater to... they cater to our knowledge when they become humorous. Okay, that's when they become mercifully more divine, is when they strike up a chord with our humor. But aside from that, they're pretty much geared for the animal instincts in man, and not much else, unless they're humorous. Now I will shut up.